It's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Randy Hoops.
We've all known it was coming sooner or later, and it arrived on our doorstep last Monday, June 2nd. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency came out with their new proposed rules, limiting carbon emissions and other pollutants from the nation's power plants. The rules are not carved in stone yet, and the individual states will be responsible for determining the details of how to accomplish the stated goals. Our guests today are from Springfield City Utilities. We have Steve Stodden, Associate General Manager for Electric Supply, and Kara Schaefer, Director of Energy Management and Conservation.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for allowing us to come and talk today about such an important topic to our customers.
Steve, I've heard that Missouri generates over 80% of its electricity from coal. So as a state, we're going to have to work our work cut out for us. Is CU in a better position to cope with the new requirements than other Missouri utilities?
You know, I think we've positioned ourselves very well for this rule. We knew some type of rule was going to be coming out. We didn't know when it was going to come out. We didn't know exactly what form it was going to be. But we knew something was going to come out. So if you look at all the work we've done over the last 10 to 15 years, it's all been toward a goal of efficiency, lower emissions. It goes back to our JTEC 2 project that we put in. That's about 25% more efficient than the older units that we're converting to natural gas as part of this process. We have 50 megawatts of hydro capacity from Southwest Power Administration that we've had for many, many years. We have our 3 megawatts from Noble Hill Landfill Renewable Energy Center that came online in 2006. We have 50 megawatts from the Smoky Hills Wind Farm that came online in 2009. You know, again, we have our 300 megawatts of JTEC 2 that came online in 2011. And then we have our latest thing that we're very excited about is the 5 megawatts at the CU Solar Farm that comes online here in about another month.
I went out to kind of peek over the fence and have a little look at that. It's out past the Partnership Industrial Park, old Extended Kearney, or Route 66, and it's going to be a fascinating thing. But still a small percentage at 5 megawatts when you've got, I think the total capacity of CU is about 1,100 megawatts. And so the coal that we're really worried about is under 50% of your capacity. So it looks like, you know, Springfield's going to be in better shape than some of the other places.
Yes, you know, we have a lot of flexibility with our resources because of the flexibility we've always had over the years. You know, we've been very fuel flexible since the start of the utilities back in the 50s, and that's always been a great asset to us, and it will be in the future.
Now, in the EPA proposed regulations, it's going to go up to the individual states. And Missouri is... I believe we have about 80% coal in this state, so CU is much better average on coal than other utilities. Do we know what's going to happen when the state of Missouri starts figuring out how to do this?
You know, that's a stakeholder process, and that begins here in July. We're going to be part of that as well as the other municipals in the state. We also belong to a state joint action agency called Missouri Public Utility Alliance. It's going to be there. So we're going to be at the table working through that, making sure we represent our customers and take care of their interests. Where that process will end up, you know, that's going to be an evolution to go through.
That'll be interesting to watch how that happens. Some people might ask, if we'll need to rely on coal for the baseload for many years to come, can't we do it with renewables?
You know, if you just look at the sheer volume of what our coal fleet produces in energy in a year and look at how you would replace that with renewables, you know, renewables is a great piece of the mix, has several issues you have to deal with. Energy storage is one of those. Where you're located at in the geography of the United States plays a part of that. We have a great wind resource here in the Midwest, wonderful wind resources, but here in Southwest Missouri, we don't. So we need to bring that wind energy in, which is what we do today. We buy some wind from Kansas. You need transmission there. In order to integrate more renewables, you're going to need more gas capacity. Just the sheer volume of the replacement cycle is going to make it almost impossible, let alone the cost. Cost would be astronomical for our customers, which is what, you know, really our drivers is. One of our largest drivers, making sure that we're responsible to our customers and looking out after their costs.
So for many years to come, coal is going to have to be the workhorse. That's the way it's going to have to work. As I understand it, the EPA has specified that in comparison to emissions in 2005 as a base year, they must be reduced by 30% before the year 2030. Now, that's quite a long time span. Is that something we can do here?
That is definitely something we can do. We have great people, and I haven't seen us not meet a challenge that we've set our sights on. Now, that doesn't mean that's going to be easy to do. There's going to be lots of pieces to make that work. Part of it was probably going to be looking at the replacement of James River Power Station in the future, and what do you do there? Anything you do there is going to entail natural gas. If you look at what the current rules are, that means we're going to have to bring our second gas pipeline into Springfield from somewhere so that we have gas capacity to generate here on natural gas. It's probably going to be integrating more renewables, which means more transmission. If it's solar, that means you're going to have to decide where to put those, which is going to be more land acquisition. So, you know, we can definitely meet that challenge, but it is not going to be easy to be met, and it's going to be controversial.
That's one of the things I want to mention. The James River Power Plant, as I understand it, was originally natural gas-fired. Then it went to coal. There are five units out there. And now, what's been done out at James River?
The three smallest units, that station was always developed as dual fuel, either 100% natural gas, 100% coal, or a combination of the two. We've maintained that over the years. The three smaller units there, with having JTEC 2 in our fleet, we're going to make those exclusively natural gas, no longer burn coal on those three small units. And James River 4 and 5, we're going through an upgrade process on right now to meet some new environmental rules out there for the mercury and air toxic standards so that they will be able to be resources for us into the future. And what we're calling James River really is kind of our bridge to the future. We see that there's going to be new technologies out there that we're going to want to use for power generation, but we need to get to that point to where efficiencies are up in those resources and your costs are driven down, so that our customers don't take the brunt of a huge cost increase in order to do that.
That's very reassuring. Now let's spend a little time with Kara. If we are to reduce emissions as required, it's much simpler to reduce demand than just to crank up the power plants. That's what Kara Schaefer can tell us about. Kara, I've been intrigued by the possibilities of photovoltaic cells or solar panels for a long time, and I hear that there have been significant cost reductions in recent years. I've also heard of a device called a grid tie inverter that makes it simple to connect solar panels to power your house, possibly feed any surplus back to the grid. Is this something people are doing in Springfield?
Well, currently we have 12 customers, and that's out of 110,000 that are what are considered net metering. And so they're using those grid tie inverters, and it's all solar panels that they have either on their business or on their home. And that just inverts that power and allows them to connect back into the grid. So if they would produce more energy than what they used, then that would flow back through to the grid.
So it's very seldom that somebody can actually generate enough power to spin the meter backwards, so to speak, and get paid for it. But I understand out of the 12 that you have some folks that are actually producing more power than they use.
We do. We have one customer on a consistent basis that will do that. And what they did is they did it the right way. What I like to say is that they made their home as energy efficient as possible before they put the solar panels on and did the net metering. So they're not using that much energy, and then their solar panels are allowing them to send that electricity back through the electric meter.
Yeah, once you start investigating solar power, you learn that it's pretty expensive to produce, and it's a lot easier to start saving electricity, get rid of some of the vampires that suck electricity out of the wall, and television sets that pull power either on or not.
Efficiency is certainly the most important thing to do and to make your home or business more efficient before investing in another technology.
And that's something that anybody can do. As a matter of fact, we're being forced into it now with the incandescent bulbs going away at certain wattages. So it's going to be an interesting future, but I think City Utilities has prepared us well for that. Our guests today have been Steve Stodden, CU Manager for Power Supply and Electrical Generation, and Kara Schaefer, who oversees Energy Management and Conservation. This program and others are available on the web at ksmu.org. Click on the Series tab and then on Making Democracy Work.